Guys, welcome back to The Pulse. And you know what we do every week. We're bringing in fun people, getting to know them, having some time and kind of exploring different experiences. I also feel like lately, it's been an opportunity to get to know some of my Fox family. Jerry O'Connell, I guess it's okay to call you Fox family.
I'm Fox family, yeah.
It's good stuff. We appreciate you coming into The Pulse.
I love being here. I mean, any excuse to come to Philly, it's... I'm just a fan of this city. I'm a man of a particular age, and there was a musician named G Love and Special Sauce.
I went
that
to school with him.
You're kidding me.
I went to school with Garrett G Love.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Garrett and my guy. I played basketball together.
That was my introduction into Philly. Really, coming here in college. I went to college in New York, and coming here for G Love shows. Okay. And then in my 20s, Philadelphia became the place where all my hipster friends moved, you know? And so I'd come here. I briefly dated someone who lived in Philly. I just have a warm, just Philly is just, it's, I get a brotherly feeling when I come here.
It's a good spot. We appreciate you being a part of that. You just reminded me. Now I got to reach out to G Love. We got to get him on the
Man,
show too.
I keep him on heavy rotation all the time. I'm a huge G Love fan. I mean, seen him in concert numerous times. I really, you know, it's funny, you know, he and Jack Johnson and like they were all in sort of the same crew. And, I feel like G Love is sort of like the underground. I love it when I mention his name and people go, "Oh, I'm a huge fan." It's almost like an underground you know, club.
You got me laughing because I remember, and I'm not gonna go too far off on the G Love story,
no, go.
But I'd imagine this might have been part of your experience when as a young person you broke into Hollywood. So I remember all these people who knew and know Garrett, the set G Love. The second his song came out, everybody was his first girlfriend, you know, or everybody was the person who used to hang out with him.
Right.
Sitting there. Everyone was like, and I remember when he tore the talent show up and I was in the front row.
Right.
And I was like, people at the talent show were like, what is he doing? But then immediately everybody becomes like, did you get that? Like you're in movies and stuff and people are like, he used to hang out with me.
Actually, I was Garrett's first boyfriend.
Okay.
That's a joke, everyone. I'm making a joke. I started off as a child actor. I was in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
I was one of those boys in Stand By Me. And fame didn't hit me, you know. I wasn't famous. I was in public school in New York. And I think because Stand By Me was a little bit of a mature movie, I was in the seventh grade when Stand By Me came out. My friends weren't seeing that. They were, what was a big movie when I was growing up? Beat Street, Crush Groove, The Last Dragon, Rambo. I wasn't in those movies, so my friends didn't know I was in a movie.
Really?
It wasn't until I went to college that people were like, man, that movie Stand By Me was really good. And I sort of saw people knowing who I was based on things I'd been in.
That's so, it's crazy because you always think, those of us who are not in that position, always feel like you're in Stand By Me, instant fame, life changes, everything. And that wasn't necessarily your immediate experience.
You know, it was for my other co-stars in Stand By Me. River Phoenix, God rest his soul, immediately became internationally famous. And it didn't for me. And it's funny. It's why I have this show Pictionary that's out. Yeah. And people are like, you did it. You made it. You know, like you have a game show. This is great. And I just don't even really think about it because I think when Stand By Me came out and it was such a hit, nothing changed in my life. I mean, literally, like I took the subway to school. I dealt with the same things all teenage kids deal with, and nothing, literally nothing changed in my life. And I remember thinking, I think I learned at a very early age, have no expectations because nothing is going to happen. I know that sounds totally depressing.
No,
but like,
it's not depressing. It just doesn't seem to
fit. Have no expectations in my life. I have zero. And I want to say I'm not a depressed person, I swear. I know I'm coming off sounding really depressed and morbid right now. I just find it's best to have no expectations at all. And by the way, not only professionally, I mean with my children. I don't, you know, my kids are 13. If they don't fail, that's a huge victory. Like, if they don't fail at school, I am like an amazing parent. If they go to school, like if they're not vaping, that's like a huge, I'm winning.
Just setting the bar.
I have not found a vape in any of their person at all. They're not on drugs. I'm winning. I'm doing it. But it's really funny. Being in Stand By Me as a kid taught me no expectations. Therefore, getting back to the G Love and or Garrett, as you call him, and people saying, "Oh, they must have said they dated you." My life didn't change at all, and still to this day, it hasn't changed. I mean,
it's changed.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I am.
You're kind of successful.
I think it got me. I'm very fortunate to be married to my wife, Rebecca Romijn, beautiful, famous actress, model. You know, maybe all of it had something to do with snagging her. Yeah, I just have no expectations. I don't think anyone, and I don't believe anyone is going to say that they dated me first. And if they would, it's funny, this whole Adam Levine thing that's been happening, I've been like sort of watching it. For those who don't know, Adam Levine has been like DMing people and all this stuff. And like, he's married to a model, but he's DMing a lot of people. And, you know, being a little randy. And it's so funny. Somebody at work said to me, because social media is a big part of all of our lives, you know? I mean, if you're on TV like we are, you have to have social media. It's our job, man.
Yeah.
So somebody said to me at work, like, man, you must get some crazy DMs. And so there's like if you go into DMs on Instagram, there's like your friends that you follow, you could DM, but then you go into all requests. And so I went in there and I was like, let me see if anybody's
trying to get
in touch with me here. And no one is sending me graphic DMs. So listen, I want to use your platform here to say,
you request them?
If you want to send me something where you're showing interest in me,
This goes viral. Now it's going to be like,
just
on
do it.
This show.
Look,
we're trying to break.
I'm married. I am married.
You're married to
I
a
would
model.
Never a supermodel. I would never write back like, "Oh, you look so hot" to a stranger. I wouldn't write that.
I mean, you're married to a model.
But I just I want to have that option. Like, I want somebody could text me something, just something, just like.
Let's move on.
I heard you on the Pulse, and
send
I just wanted to say, hey, this is a photo of me, without a shirt.
And now it's you know, it's very private because we're not saying all this on TV, so people can go reach out. You know, so the supermodel wife's never going to find out about.
So this. Getting back to your original question, it took me a long time to get here, but no, I have not. It just never happened for me.
Change like that.
Yeah, it never changed.
But
changed
but it
like
did
that.
Happen. So you've had tremendous levels of success in various different fields. But it's interesting that you say that because when we and you've been here to Fox 29 several times, and
with television shows that did not get picked up. So this is the time I'm coming to Fox 29 with a show that actually got picked up. So
continuing
it
on.
Took me four or five times of coming to Fox 29 to have a show that actually made it to first season. They were all test runs.
They are. And Pictionary is great. And we're going to talk about the specifics of Pictionary. But everyone, when you're here, the comment when you leave, and I don't know if you know this, is they're like, wow, he's just cool. Like, he's just he's just a good dude. And we have, there's people here in the studio right now off camera, you know, and everyone just kind of shakes their hand. And we've had some people who come in equally cool, but full-on entourage. And the makeup people traveling with them. And, you know, everybody's been very nice to us. You just roll in. Like, you walked with our EP to go get coffee down the street.
Well, first of all, I have a great respect for Philadelphia. I really do. I just have a respect for it. I don't know. You know, the way I conduct myself is I like to be a little hands-on. And when you come into situations, I think it's best to see for yourself and see what the vibe is. And there's a real talent pool here at Fox 29. And I've been in this business for a minute now. I'm an older person. I'm a well-traveled performer in this industry.
Experience is how we like to embrace
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. And a lot of it comes from relationships and relationships that you've had in the past. And that's how you continue sort of working. And at any given time, I could be working for everyone in this building, and I don't want to say that in like sort of like a, I'm looking for a job sort of way, but I just have a respect for everybody who works here. You do things well here. And it's also inspiring to see how you do it here, because it's different. It's quirky. It's innovative.
You should know, and I don't know how often people say that, but at least around here, that's really appreciated. You know, because a lot of people, we see you on camera. You know, we see what you do, and we love the movies and the shows and all that success. But a lot of people, and what I enjoy about this show is you get to talk to people and kind of hear who they are really as people. A lot of people don't get to see that you're just sitting here chilling, you know, or you're walking up and down the street. You're approachable, you know, and that's your reputation in the industry too. That's kind of who you are, something you embrace, something you're proud of.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know why it is. I've just always been that way ever since I was a kid. It's funny. I think when you have children, you think about it because you kind of see yourself in your kids. And I have two daughters, and one is oh man, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but one is like, one is a lot like me, and one is a lot like my wife. Okay. And the one who's like me doesn't shut up, talks to everybody, wants to know everything, is in an annoying way in everyone's business, which is kind of what I do. Like, you could talk to some people here at Fox 29 and they could say, wow, that Jerry O'Connell was really annoying. He was walking around our studio like thinking he just knew everybody. He doesn't. I don't know him. Now I have another daughter who's a little more like my wife, who really only speaks when spoken to, and is cool. We'll sit to the side and look at everyone, not disengage, but just be aloof, just standoffish. And by the way, that's a very attractive quality. It's what I love about my wife, is that my wife is like this elusive sort of like elusive being that you like have to like, it's like a cat, you know? It's like, you know, you have a cat and you can't run up to a cat and be like, hey, come here, you cat. Oh, I love cats. Like, cats are like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll come see you when I'm ready.
I don't know that I've ever heard somebody describe their supermodel wife as an elusive cat. It makes sense.
I love cats. And by the way, I love cats. We have so many cats.
I have a cat. My dude. Like, he's,
do you have a cat?
I have a cat.
Oh, God.
Foles, Eagles backup quarterback. My cat.
Nick Foles.
And he's just like that.
Yeah, I love him. Can you believe a couple cat daddies, just you and I, sitting up here? Look at this. A couple cat daddies.
Right? Before we talk about Pictionary, we talked in the elevator on the way up. You were on Good Day Philadelphia. And they always seem to find an excuse to get you to take your shirt off. Like, what? And I'm sure we'll show the clip. Like, every time you come here, I don't know if it's the hosts, the producers.
No, it's,
is that a common thing?
It's, I say, I have a rule. I will only do Good Day Philly if I show some skin. No, that is one. I want to say to your human resources department here, that is 1,100% your superiors here. I mean, when I'm in that studio, my superiors at the time, they asked me to do it. They said specifically open shirt. They said it a number of times. I mean,
that was in the talking points.
You know, I will tell you something fun as an actor that I do. If I come into a new situation like Good Day this morning where I took my shirt off, I take the lead of whoever is in charge. So I don't come in with a preconceived notion of what I should do on Mr. J and Alex Holly's show. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I go on their ride, and it's something I do as a performer a lot. And it's funny, when you're an actor, your life is new job. When you're working in commercials, like I did early on in my career, it was, you know, it was a daily job. Like, you walk onto a new job every day.
Yeah.
When you're an actor, it's, you know, a month here, a couple weeks there, a month here. And being an actor has really made me adaptable to new situations. So I don't come in with a rigid set of ideas that I should be doing on your show. I keep myself open to the universe and say, what do you suggest I do here? And it really has benefited me.
Yeah. And like a long list of successes and that reputation that we were talking about, what people think of you. Pictionary. We got to talk about Pictionary.
Sure.
Pictionary here on Fox. We're also on Fox Soul nationally. So people sure. in all the markets
yeah.
can see Pictionary. That just looks like fun.
You know, it really is. I had never hosted a game show, and I couldn't believe at first how difficult it was. And I'm not even making a joke. There are like rules
yeah.
and you have to abide by them. It's actually a legal like thing. And I couldn't believe when I got the gig for Pictionary, I thought, man, this is going to be so easy. I play board games. Like,
right? How hard can this be?
This is going to be the easiest money I've ever made. I'm going to do this with my eyes closed. And that first day that we hosted a few television shows, I called up my wife on the way home and I went, I think I'm going to get fired. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to get fired from this job. I was terrible. It took forever. They kept having to stop. But you know what? It really gave me a real appreciation for Steve Harvey.
He's good. Yeah.
Steve Harvey. He makes it look like he just rolled in and he's just, there's an ease to him. Mm-hmm. And listen, I got better.
Yeah.
I did get better, but it really made me have a complete appreciation for Steve Harvey, who is the master of hosting a game show. The master. He has jokes. He has looks to the camera. There's not only is the show amazing, the online content for Family Feud is amazing. Anytime you see a clip that comes across your phone, you watch it. And while the game Family Feud is fun, it really comes from Steve Harvey. And guys like that just make it look so easy.
It's cool you feel that because I know that people watch and you said you got better. We watch the show and it does feel like now. Like I don't know the first couple episodes or how you felt. Now it does seem like you're just effortlessly talking to the people who were there.
Yeah.
Having some fun. Like you're in your living room playing Pictionary.
Yeah. Like anything else, it gets easier. It's really fun. There's a guy who works here at Fox, and I'm sure you'll meet him, named Stephen Brown, who sort of does a lot of the game shows. He really helped me out. He was like, this is what I need you to do. You got to do this.
We had a Stephen Brown meeting. He helped us launch this show.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he gave you like sort of like, that's another thing I look for. I look for people who are bosses and are highly successful. And I immediately drop everything and go, what do you want me to do? I think also that comes from acting as well. Cause I'm directable. Like you can direct me.
Yeah.
And like I said to Steve, give me specific directions. And he gave me specific directions and I did them. It's so funny. There's a trick as actors when you audition for something. If you go into an audition and you're reading a script and there's a director there and the director goes, you know what? Do it a little more like this. Mm-hmm. And then as a trick, you do it a lot like that to show the director that you're able to take direction. You're amiable to direction. And so it's something you do to get jobs, to be like, wow, that guy really took that direction well. I'm going to hire him. He's going to do what I say. I do it with guys like Steve Brown, and it benefits me so much. It benefits me so much this is going to be like the boring part of our interview, but to listen to your superiors who are successful and people you look up to, it really helps out.
But that's smart. Like it really is. And I've had the meeting with him and I'm still, you know, we're still developing, but
yeah.
You're talking to people. Sherry Shepherd was here not that long ago.
Awesome.
And she was talking about her show and all the different people she talked to who gave her, you know, sort of ideas or inspiration.
Sure.
And she's taking it and embracing it.
I watched her show when she said Oprah called her. That was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oprah didn't call me yet. Holler at your boy. You know what? It's funny that you were talking about, and all the behind the scenes stuff I think is cool to share with people. But you're talking about the game show. And we actually produce a game show here out of Philadelphia. It's called The Clash Room. And all those rules you were talking about, like there's a meeting room. And there have been plenty of times that I just went to go walk in and talk to the people in the room. And they'll stop me at the door and be like, you're not allowed to be in here right now.
There's so funny, isn't it?
And there's questions.
Yeah.
And only the people
it's not legal
who are
and you're showing
qualified
favorites. Yeah.
To be here. And I'm like, I've played Pictionary, like, I'm not qualified to be in the room.
It's so funny.
So it is. There's so many different things going on. So tell us a little bit about, we've got Pictionary. People can see it. It got picked up.
Yeah.
And continues on. You seem like you're surprised that it got picked up.
You know, I just don't take anything for granted. It's a tough business. And if something gets picked up, I'm very grateful about it. You know, I just take nothing for granted.
What's next? Pictionary is going to have a long run. You do another show, but they're not with us, so we won't talk about it.
No, I mean,
continued success.
We can talk about it. I do a daily show called The Talk. It's on CBS. It was a big deal for me to get that job. You know, it's a daily show. I've never come to work every day the same place in my career. I mean, I'm like a contractor. I go to where the gigs are. So it's so funny to come every day and do a daily show.
You enjoy that? Because that's like a lot of you.
I do enjoy it. I have had to. I tend to be a little bit of an energetic person. So I have to temper my enthusiasm. And also not get so upset if there's a boring show, like a show that isn't good, because tomorrow there's a new show, you know? I mean, I guess it's almost like being a baseball player. There's a lot of games that season, and you can't get upset if you have if you don't get a hit in a game.
You get to play again. One of my mentors told me that doing a talk show, and I used to do talk radio. And now we started doing this. And they said, it's like being a hockey goalie because you never know what's coming at you and you have to be prepared to deal with everything coming from 1,000 different directions and then play the next game also. So yeah. Interesting. You said baseball, they went hockey.
I think it's experience. It's yeah, it's just, it's experience, but it's fun. It's interesting. I'll tell you another funny thing about careers and where I'm at. I came into this business as an actor. I was acting for years. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would be hosting stuff. It just wasn't. It wasn't in the cards. You know, I co-hosted with, or I didn't co-host, but I when Wendy Williams, who was formerly on Fox, would call out, I would sub for her in the beginning, before people really started to sub for Wendy. And that was a real learning experience. And that's when I actually, like, an agent came up to me and said, hey, I'm an agent that works with talk show hosts. I should be your talk show host agent. And
I was like,
no, I'm just doing this as like an aside. I'm an actor. I don't need a talk show host agent because I'm just doing this as a favor to Wendy. And they said, no, you need a talk show host agent because this is something that you're probably going to do for the next 2 years. And I remember driving home from the studio and being like, I'm going to have a talk show agent. Like, that wasn't part of my plan. And it's funny. I was sitting with somebody yesterday and they said, what do you do? And I said,
they said, what do you do?
Oh, they said, what do you do? And I said, I'm an actor. And they said, oh, what have you been in? And I said, some stuff a long time ago. Stand By Me and Jerry Maguire. And they went, oh, that was a long time ago. Are you still acting? And I went, I'm mostly hosting now. And they went, wow, you're hosting. And I said, yeah. And they said, was that part of the plan? Did you always want to host? And it kind of hit me. And I was like, no, I didn't want to host at all. I just wanted to be an actor. And they went, well, are you happy? And I went, yeah, I'm pretty happy. And it's just so funny what life, you know, wherever you're going to end up is where you end up, you know, and you have no control over it. I had no control over this.
You know what the most painful part of that story just was to me? I don't have a talk show host agent. I respect everything you just said. And I'm sitting there listening. You're like, this guy just came up to me and said, I should be your talk show host.
By the way, he's since dropped me as a client. So really? Yeah, don't be too jealous. He's a very nice guy. I still talk to him. He just moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, you just very casually, like, they just stopped by and said, you need a talk show host agent. Nobody did that with me. Should my feelings be hurt? No, nobody yet has.
Who
said,
knows? You never know.
Agent.
This was.
They're like, yeah, you're good. You don't really need an agent. You've peaked.
This was after I had co-hosted Wendy a bunch of times. You know, it was.
My feelings are hurt. Wow, 30 minutes of discussion just went by really quickly. I know, right?
Wow.
We generally, two things when we wrap up these segments. First is we have this, like, kind of give advice to people. You've been giving it throughout the whole show, and it seems like be flexible, be, you know, approachable. But the people who want to follow in your footsteps, is there kind of set advice for them or just go with it?
What's, like, advice I can give to people who, you know, I think there's so many jobs in entertainment, and it's funny. I'm actually not even at the cutting edge of it anymore. I'm sort of on the older edge of it at this point. Like, you know, first of all, you don't have to move to Los Angeles anymore. I think those days are over. You know, back in my day, you had to move to LA if you wanted to work in entertainment, in TV, and you had to get an apartment out there. And I mean, I lived at home during college, so I moved out there and I had to, like, I didn't know that gas was different a gas bill was different from an electric bill, and like you just learned it all, you know. And you don't have to do it anymore. There's opportunities everywhere now. And on all levels, on local levels, on streaming levels, on, you know, a lot of this stuff, like even this show, a lot of them are done on Zoom now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just everywhere. So I would suggest getting into it by any means necessary. Yeah. You know, there are opportunities there, and it's just everywhere now. It's not just isolated to just New York or Los Angeles. You know, I mean, I think a lot of decisions are made out of those places, but I don't think when getting into it, you have to do it in those places necessarily. And also never stop doing it. Never stop following your dream. You know, I've been through years of unemployment, and I was like, is this really, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a spouse who makes a pretty good living. So those down years were...
The guy is married to a supermodel.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that the down years, I didn't have to stop being in the entertainment industry. And also, if you get married, stay married. It's so much easier to just stay married. It's not always the easiest being married, but just stay married. Figure it out. It's so much easier. Oh, gosh.
Last thing.
My advice is stay married.
Stay married. And if you, you know, get a supermodel, you know, stay married. Just happen to fill in for Wendy Williams, and an agent will come up and say, I got big plans for you.
Oh,
and
no.
Get
hey,
into
you
one
know
of
what?
The hit
getting,
movies when you're like 14.
Getting back to what I was saying, I filled in for Wendy because I was a guest of hers. Okay. And every time I went in as a guest, I said to her producers and her, what do you want me to do? How do you do this here? Much the same way as I walk into Good Day. And then they produced me as how I would be a perfect Wendy guest. And I became a Wendy favorite guest. And then when Wendy took a sabbatical, I was one of the first calls that they made. So, you know, it was also being open, not having such rigid ideas as to what you should do walking into a situation. And this is how I do things.
I feel like that's, I mean, we've known each other for like
29 minutes.
Yeah. But I feel like that seems like kind of your baseline and your personality. We end
open
the show,
to the universe, man.
Right? I just adjust. I'm a positive dude. I'll sit here and chill with you. We end the show with Use Your Voice for Good. Like, that was kind of the whole foundation of this. We wanted to do a show. You get to hear about people, hear what they're doing, but leave them with how they're embracing the universe, dude. Use Your Voice for Good. What does that mean to you? Is it a charity? Is it advice? Is it, you know, stay with your wife forever? What does that mean to you?
Using your voice for good, as the father of two 13-year-old girls is, I just want to instill in them, a general caring for others and not obsession with self. I think we live in a time, especially with these kids today, with their phones and their social media, that there's an obsession with self. I'm not faulting anyone. I just think it's how society is designed now. I see my daughters and how their phones and their online personas and what they're posting, and are they having fun? And it's not so much are they having fun themselves in their souls, but are they showing that they're having fun on their various social media platforms? And I think just thinking about others and not being obsessed with self, that's something that I try to be a proponent of.
I love it. I appreciate you spending this time with us. This was fun.
All that said, everyone, please follow me on Instagram.
Yeah. at Bill A. Fox 29.
At Mr. Jerry OC. You can follow me on Yelp. I leave reviews for places.
There you go. So follow us. Just don't become obsessed with it because.
Oh, and like, send me a DM. Something crazy.
Goodbye.
You know, I'm not going to answer back, but I want to see it.
Let's wrap. We're going to leave it there. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with Jerry O'Connell, I'm still laughing at how humble and open and just generally cool this guy was talking about, you know, if you just find a supportive wife who can help you out in several circumstances, you're like, yo, you're married to a supermodel. Somebody who's saying, my life didn't really change that much. And you've been in 50 movies. But he was just chill. And that was chill on the microphone and on camera and chill sitting around in the studio talking to people and just being a generally good guy. And it's fun to see people like that continue to be successful. So kudos and thank you to him for coming on with us. Thank you to all of you for listening. And remember that you should subscribe to this podcast, The Pulse with Bill Anderson, so you get a notification every Monday when the new episodes come out. If you're ever in Philadelphia and you would like to check out the episodes on TV, you can check us out Mondays at 6:30 on Fox 29 in Philadelphia. We, of course, air Monday evenings nationally on Fox Soul. And all past episodes are available on YouTube. So if you're interested in a specific guest or just to see some of the cool people we've had, you can search for The Pulse with Bill Anderson on YouTube. If you have any questions or comments, I love hearing from you. So hit me up on social at Bill A. Fox 29. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.